Roughly Speaking with Dan Rogics is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at 6080 Falls Road, located at the intersection of Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. More information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.
I'm Dan Rogics, and this is Roughly Speaking from the Baltimore Sun, episode 411, the fourth in our week-long series of conversations with Baltimore principals about what it's like to run a school in the city. Our guests this week were each named recipients of the 2018 Heart of the School Awards from the Fund for Educational Excellence, so they've each had some success at being principals. Today's guest is Cindy Harkham from Baltimore City College High School. With all of her students focused on getting to college, Cindy Harkham implemented a student-to-student tutoring program while making advanced courses the norm at the Castle on the Hill. This past year, Cindy Harkham says her students set a local record for diplomas from the International Baccalaureate Organization, with 52 City College seniors making the grade in college-level courses. Also this past spring, Cindy Harkham and the City College community had to deal with the death of one of the school's most promising student-athletes, Ray Antoine Glasgow III, one of the many victims of gunfire in the city's three-year surge of violent crime. You know, my job, we don't close out a year. We just keep going. But at school, you know, you think of graduation or the end of the school year, and then there's a break, and then another year begins. So at the end of that year, maybe you reflect a little bit on what that year brought, the ups and the downs. Do you ever get to the end of the, what your eighth year this will be as principal at City, and do you ever, wonder, like, okay, what about this year was different than the previous year? Did I achieve my goals? Did the school improve? Did we make some progress? Do you ever do that?
Absolutely. You have to. As a high school principal, you have to do a reflection on whether or not your graduation rate, your college acceptance rate, whether or not their performance across the different criteria improved. You're judging everything from attendance to test scores to how many kids got into four-year colleges versus two-year colleges. So all of that matters. And if you don't make an assessment of it, then if you don't reflect on it, then you're not doing your job.
Well, what would you say about this year?
We had a pretty successful year. We know that we administered more than 1,000 international baccalaureate exams, which is really good. We know that we administered more than 200 advanced placement assessments as well.
That means that 200 students were in AP?
That means that, right, more than 200 students took the AP courses.
Out of how many?
As a sophomore at City College, then you would experience the AP classes. Out of, say, 350 students. In terms of the international baccalaureate exams, there are more than 320 seniors, and so more than 85% of those students would have sat for IB exams. And so what we looked at is, and what we'll continue to look at is, how successful were those students by the time we get the results in July. We know that in the past we have been very successful in our student populations, particularly low income and African American and Hispanic students, improving their test results in IB. And with that, we know that they have been able to get an opportunity to earn college credit to be able to advance in their majors when they get to university. And the really exciting part is for parents is that they get to save money along the way. And so, we hear a lot from our graduates who, too, are very reflective to say, having had that experience of taking those rigorous courses in high school and not being selected out to take them really gave them an advantage at the university level. And so that's important to us. We want high school to be more than just making your way through courses, but rather having the experience, the skills, the opportunity to do the diverse types of assessment that would make them ready for college. We looked this year at the college application process. We'll continue to look at how well our students did in terms of getting into the college of their choice, as opposed to having to settle for a school that they may not have wanted to attend.
Back up that. I
mean, we have about 156 diverse colleges and universities across the country that students have been accepted into.
Are they getting the schools they want?
Absolutely. They're getting the schools they want. Mm-hmm. They are, in terms of the selectivity of the colleges, we feel that we've been very successful in kind of helping them with having a student profile that would get them into top tier one, tier two schools that they are looking for.
Do most students who come to City with the expectation that they're going to college, that they're on a college track?
That is the expectation.
For everybody?
For everybody. Mm-hmm. And so what we try to do is make certain that we provide that access for everyone. We know that in addition to having access to quality teachers, which is what we have at City, really some amazing members of faculty, that they have a real diversity of courses that the university is looking for in their transcript, that they have a profile that shows that they are getting access to rigorous courses and exams like IB and AP, that they have experience with extracurricular activities and clubs that really show the diversity of their backgrounds. They can be involved in everything from a chess team to playing on the baseball team or the football team, that you are more than just an academia in the classroom, that you are really a full student committed to some kind of a leadership or community related work at City College.
Do you have a sense of how well the students are doing beyond City College? Are they finishing college?
We are learning through our data, depending on whether it's data that comes out of the National Clearinghouse or through data that we receive through our own internal surveys that we do with students in terms of our community, our college outreach, for the most part, more than 80% of our students are staying in after the first 2 years, which is a good sign. What we do hear more of is that they are also being very selective about their major choices and the schools that they are attending. So that if, for example, the major that you thought you were looking for at this particular school didn't work out, or the culture of the campus didn't work out, that they are making decisions maybe 2 years later and transferring to another four-year college. But the goal is they're staying in, which is what we really want to maintain. What we know through our international baccalaureate data and the what we've been learning through the University of Chicago and Johns Hopkins studies is that the more exposure students have to more international baccalaureate or AP courses, the more likely they are to be able to stay in college longer and to be able to graduate on time. The data shows that it gives them not just a real foundation for learning and wanting to continue learning, but a real grit to be able to handle the challenges that come with college experience and the studying and finding the resources, being able to talk to your teachers, your professors, and not just throwing in the towel after the first exam.
I love that word and what it means, grit. Don't use it enough. You need it.
You do.
You really need
Absolutely
it. How do the freshmen do when they first arrive at City College? Do most of them stay with you?
Our freshmen stay with us.
Because that can be a real eye-opener for kids,
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Students who will come to City College, they come from a diversity of schools around the city, 86 different middle schools, or some of them homeschool experiences, some of them private school experiences. They may be the only person from their particular school to attend, but they find a home at the school.
So their retention rate is pretty high?
Retention rate is high. Hmm. They stay with us, and that's our goal. We want to make certain that our cohort remains the same from the moment they enter in their freshman year to the time they graduate with us. So we found that the more opportunity they have to have the school feel like a place that they can grow, that there are people who are caring, people who are nurturing, that we have resources like our math center, our research center, our writing center, that there's coach class, there's all the opportunities. And when I mention those centers, I'm talking about peer tutoring locations, that there's some place that you can go to get help and assistance You know, there's of course the library. There's all these opportunities that are available to you, so that there's no reason that you should ever feel like that you can't get the help you need to be successful to stay in the program.
I'm curious about that student-to-student tutoring. So are these upperclassmen tutoring lowerclassmen, you know, juniors tutoring freshmen? How does that work?
So we call it the Center for Teaching and Learning. And within the center, students have an opportunity to participate as either Writing Center tutors or math tutors or research tutors, and they are invited and selected by their teachers to be a part of the program. They would go through some time for training. They would learn from the coordinators from the centers. They would also get information on a regular basis from teachers who have assignments and other activities to make them aware of exactly what type of learning is going on in the room. What are the essay requirements looking like? What are the math assessments looking like? And so the students who would come to the center for peer tutoring would come in with the expectation that the tutors already know what the tasks are that they're responsible for. They could pull it up on the computers and they can talk to them about what do you need in terms of making this a better paper. It's not an editing service. So, you know, so really they're talking to them about, I'm not sure that you're taking the right course on this, or I'm not sure that what you've written is really what the teacher is asking you to do. Or let me look at the ways that you're solving this particular problem, and maybe you want to take this approach because this is what I saw the teacher do in the classroom. Because in some instances, the math tutors, for example, will go out into the classrooms and work with the students during the day in the room.
How do you get them to do that?
Well,
they get paid to do it?
They don't get paid to do it, but they do. They have an opportunity to earn a credit for it.
Oh, okay.
So well, while they are training on the spot and learning, they are also helping their peers, and it's a good thing because for the peers, who are the tutors, we learn from them that it gives them a sense of leadership that they never knew they had before. You could be a dynamite math student, but did you ever know that you could really help somebody? Right. And I think that's where they really feel the momentum to do more, other than just taking a class.
You had a tragedy in the school this year.
We did.
It wasn't in the school, but it was to one of your students. It was the death of a student, Ray Glasgow, who was a junior. The headline in the Baltimore Sun, the epitome of a good kid, and everything we got from people about this young man was that he was headed somewhere. He was a good student. He was an athlete, a leader on the lacrosse field and the football field.
That's correct. That's correct.
When I read that story, I don't know what to say. You know, after a while, all the violence in Baltimore, you say, when is this going to stop? But then when it reaches down to teenagers and stops these young lives, that's when it's particularly painful to read that, especially about someone who was at City. And I wonder, how did you handle it with the school, with the student body?
Wow. Well, you know, the tragedy that occurred with Ray, it hit our community at home really hard. Ray was a very popular student. Our lacrosse team was headed into the championship. Ray was more than just a strong academic student. He was a team leader, and he was captain of the team. He was a part of the successful football team. Students really looked up to him. There are hundreds of Ray Glasgows around this city. Kids were doing the right thing. Ray was a junior, but he had plans next year to apply to Hampton University, and there was a scholarship waiting in the wings for him. And so, our heart breaks for kids who are doing the right thing, and we should not be burying our children. We should not be burying our students. And it hit our community hard. We had to make certain that our crisis team was available. Our counselors and our social workers, were there to support not just our students, but the staff as well. For us, it's like a child, our own kids. And losing Ray was like losing a member of our own personal family. So, we are continuing to deal with the emotions that come with this type of loss for kids who are doing everything we ask them to do. in a sense, and we should not be losing them. But like I say, I know, you know, being a resident of this city, the Ray Glasgow III is, it's bigger than City College. This is about how do we save and rescue the lives of our young people, particularly our young Black males.
Have you had to deal with violence against your students in the past?
Not like this. Our students, they come motivated, they come prepared. Even in the case where there may not be a directed parental support, there is a guardian or someone there. So there are family or their relationships that protect them and look out for them. And even in Ray's case, he had an amazing dad who was there for them. So in a sense, are very watched over.
Yeah.
And supported and protected. But we can't be there with them all the time.
About the parents, what would you say about their engagement with the school, with their kids, their homework, their studies, the track that they're on? I mean, are they engaged? Do you hear a lot from them? Do they show up for events? Or are they there?
Yes, our parents are very supportive of their young people. They are invested in the mission of the school, and they buy into the legacy of City College because they look at, you know, who's graduated. It could have been a grandparent. It could have been a parent, or cousins or nephews. And so they get a sense that this tradition, this curriculum, this program is working. And they trust that the moment they leave their children with us, that we have the right pathway for them to be able to achieve their dreams. And so in many instances, I will say they hold me accountable. They hold the staff accountable. And if anything, I think it just helps us grow.
They have high expectations.
They have high expectations,
city.
As they should.
Yeah.
As they should.
It is the school up on the hill, isn't it?
It is the castle on the hill.
Right, the castle on the hill. Exactly. What would you say was the highlight of the past year or just in recent years? Did you have a moment when you said, God, I'm glad I have this job. I feel lucky to have this job. This is what I wanted to achieve as a principal mm-hmm. of this school. Was there a particular student, mm-hmm. a particular moment, a particular story?
Wow. I would say... particular moment is always the decision day. So this is the second year when May 1st, the seniors have to declare. They have choices of seven different colleges, and you know, everyone, we know where we get the announcements about where they've been accepted, and we get ideas about what kind of packaging they're going to receive from the colleges. So they have choices, and for some of them it's really hard, and they have their decision. The parent may have a different decision. And so decision day means you have to put down a deposit and you have to really inform the schools whether or not you're coming. And so we turn it into a big event at City College, in which colleges are identified on the screen, and the student who made the decision of what school they're going to attend, they get called down to report in front of their particular college of choice. So it's a moment where all of the students, let's say, who've been accepted at a particular college, an in-state college or out-of-state college, they get to see who else is going to that particular school. And the teachers get to see, oh, well, he's made a decision, and oh, he's going to Yale, or hey, he's going to University of Maryland, College Park. I thought he was going here. So it's a just great moment for us to be able to cheer for them. They worked really hard over the course of 12 years, and that was the moment to say, okay, I'm doing it. I'm going to this particular school. And we can feel proud as a community that they did all the work, but you know, we had a little bit of investment in terms of helping to guide how well they did.
More than a little bit, right?
Yeah, but that's the moment where we get to celebrate. And of course, graduation is its own, pomp and circumstance.
And then it starts all over again.
And it starts all over again.
You get a short break, and then it starts all over again.
It starts all over again. Today, we had awards assemblies for 9th, 10th, and 11th graders, and gave out certificate of honors for students who had 4.5 weighted GPAs or higher. And half the class of students, were up on stage accepting their awards. And even the students who didn't receive awards, they were cheering for one another, and they were exclaiming that next year I'm going to be up on that stage. And so it's good to know that they cheer for one another, that they feel supported at the school, but they know that the stakes are high and they got to maintain.
People who are listening to this who've never set foot in City College or any Baltimore City public school for that matter, from elementary through high school, what do you want them to understand about the teachers, the students, at least that in your experience, understand about the school system in Baltimore? Because, it gets a hard rap. It has a long way to go. There's lots of improvements that need to be made. There's questions about money every year, budgets, right? Mm-hmm. And how much the state is going to support the city school system. Mm-hmm. Everyone in Maryland is invested in Baltimore City schools in some way, if you're a taxpayer. But
yes.
What do you think people need to understand about the schools and about the students?
Well, I can say from the other side of the aisle in terms of what can be said about the teachers and the leadership of the schools is that everyone wants a quality school. No teacher comes to work every day expecting for kids to fail. They don't want that. I know in our own the City College community, we have the most nurturing, well-educated teachers that you can find around the country. And when we have, if a teacher decides to move on, go on to get a further degree or move away, another teacher transfers in from another school, these are the same teachers who have great attitudes about kids, who want the best for students. They come up with amazing strategies on how to really reach kids at where they are in terms of their learning and how to improve them. And so what I learned over the years is that everyone who is teaching in Baltimore City Schools understands that we have a challenge ahead of us, but you have expectations once you get into that classroom to move that student's learning from one day to the next. I will say that our teachers work very hard to get that done. I know our principals are really invested in their schools. They go the extra mile in terms of being social workers, in terms of being counselors themselves, ensuring that the lessons and the curriculum is strong, and the central office is there to provide the supports we need. But inside of the schools, principals and teachers, we try to make it happen within our buildings. We don't outsource our work. We know what we have to do to make our kids successful.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Cindy Harkim is the principal of Baltimore City College. She was one of the recipients of the 2018 Heart of the School Awards from the Fund for Educational Excellence. Coming up on Friday, in the last of our conversations with Baltimore principals, 8 years ago, Mark Martin took over a failing school, replaced most of the staff, enrolled his own children, and generally raised expectations. His approach has guided the school on an impressive turnaround in academic performance. Mark Martin of Commodore John Rogers Elementary Middle School in East Baltimore on the next episode of Roughly Speaking. See you then.